It's a bright and sunny February's morning, and I'm standing here on Brighton Beach. In front of me, stretching out into the sea, are the fragile remains of Brighton's West Pier, silhouetted in the morning sun. The pier, to this day, a Grade 1 listed building, was once a symbol of Brighton as a traditional seaside resort, a grand structure that delighted young and old alike, from its opening in 1866 to its closure in 1975. As I look at it now, it stands in front of me as a burnt-out skeleton, a solemn reminder of what was once one of Britain's best-loved piers. The walkway between the concert hall and pavilion no longer connects these once proud buildings. The pavilion that was once home to a busy theatre rises up out of the sea in isolation. Equally sad is the concert hall, which has partially collapsed and has been making a slow descent into the sea. It is actually a beautiful sight outlined in the early morning sun, but it is also a saddening reminder of the building that once stood here and all that has now been lost. How could it be that Brighton's much-loved West Pier could be allowed to fall into such a state of disrepair? I'm going to go and find out. The first stop of my journey took me to Brighton's West Pier Trust. The Trust was opened in 1978 with the sole purpose of restoring the pier and returning it to public use. I went to the offices of the West Pier Trust, a little porter cabin overlooking the pier. A poignant reminder of why I was there in the first place. I spoke to Rachel Clark, the general manager. She gave me a little insight as to why the pier stands as it now does.
Well, it opened in 1866 and was, you know, a very popular pier, became more and more popular, and its heyday was in the sort of late 1920s. After the Second World War, it went into a period of decline and was closed to the public in 1975.
And what were the reasons for its closure?
Well, it was a sort of long story of inadequate maintenance, really, not enough investment in it. And it became less successful, they invested less in the maintenance of it, and eventually it just became too unsafe.
My memory of the West Pier started when I commenced work there in 1956. There was this beautifully designed pier, everything shining and spotlessly clean. It was a hive of activity. I didn't know what to expect, but it turned out to be 15 of the happiest years of my life. It was only from the late 60s that it was changed, and there was nothing any of us could do except see it go down to what it has become today. Nothing could stop it from going from bad to worse. To us, it was like part of us being taken away. I look at it now, and I go back to its heyday, when it was beautifully kept, and I take myself back to the 15 happiest years of my life. I can hear the noise, the atmosphere, everything. I will never forget. That's how much of an impression it made on my life.
Everyone used to walk down there, and they used to take a picnic in there, you know, in a bag or a basket, and used to sit there and watch everything that was going on. I think I went to see a pantomime there too, but I can't tell you what it was. I just can't remember.
I was at junior school, probably in the late 60s, going to see a production of Peter and the Wolf, and there was coaches pulled up outside, and we were marched along to the theatre at the end and watched Peter and the Wolf, which is a wonderful production.
Saw the legendary great Houdini perform his famous death jump from West Pier. He was handcuffed, chained and padlocked and jumped from the pier into the sea and escaped underwater in about 2 minutes. The pier was packed. As always with Houdini, the theatre was sold out. What a showman he was that night.
People used to go there in the evenings and watch the starlings, and they'd all go to the beach and watch the starlings all go up and perform in the sky and, you know, fly around the West Pier at sunset. And that was fantastic. And, you know, if you're going to have something out there, have it as a wildlife place. If it's not fit for anything else, just, you know, give it to the wildlife, give it back. I was quite pleased, or in retrospect, I'm pleased that Oh, What a Lovely War was filmed. Part of it was filmed on the West Pier, because at least we have that as a memory of it and how it used to be.
It's only through these memories, films and photographs that I am able to appreciate the pier as it once was. I was born 8 years after the pier's closure, and I've always felt that I've missed out on an important part of Brighton's heritage and charm. I've also been witness to the slow deterioration of the pier, from the damage of the 1987 Great Storm to the more recent and more upsetting arson attacks. For many years, there were talks of restoration plans. But why has nothing been done?
Well, what happened fairly soon after it shut, a pressure group developed to save it, rescue it and restore it, because there was a demolition threat for a few years. And from then on, that was the embryonic form of the West Pier Trust that attempted to find ways of restoring the pier. And there was one or two close, you know, near misses in the 1980s. But it wasn't until the creation of the National Lottery that it actually became very viable. Initially, they suggested that we might be able to have a 100% grant. That soon, it soon became obvious that that was never going to happen. So we entered into a sort of quite a long relationship with the lottery, and eventually in 1998, we were given a lottery grant of 14.2 million.
Fantastic news. Or it would have been if only the restoration plans had gone ahead. Before work on the pier could commence, the West Pier Trust had to battle opposition from the Noble Organisation, owners of the adjacent Brighton Pier, formerly known as the Palace Pier. The case spent years going through the European courts, and as it did so, the West Pier's condition continued to deteriorate. What did the Noble Organisation have against the restoration plans? Well, they certainly wouldn't talk to me about it, so I looked to the Trust for answers.
Well, I mean, they were friends of the competition. They objected to the fact that public monies were going to be spent on something which was, they felt, going to compete directly with them, despite the fact that we were perfectly prepared to enter into a non-competitive agreement with them. The truth is that we've never fully understood it, because we've always known that whatever happens on this site, whether it's a restored pier or some other activity, it will bring in many new people to the city, and some of them will go on the Palace Pier. So it seems to us, and to, not just to us, to anyone you ask, actually, expert or non-expert, that that would be the case.
Another section of Brighton's West Pier has collapsed into the sea following high winds and heavy seas. Parts of the already damaged ballroom, which was hitting gales at Christmas, were battered. The West Pier Trust, which owns the Grade 1...
Broken in two and battered by the sea, Brighton's ageing West Pier finally succumbed to one final stormy night. In the driving rain, part of the ballroom crashed into the sea, providing onlookers a sad spectacle of local history disappearing before their eyes.
Well, we've done some temporary holding works to try and forestay the day when it would collapse, but obviously funds have been limited, and we've only done a couple of little bits of strengthening over the last 10 years or so, obviously waiting for the restoration proper, which is also reasonably imminent, I believe.
It was quite simply an untouchable inferno. 100 yards off Brighton Beach, one of the city's finest structures was in danger of total destruction, with emergency services powerless to prevent it.
It was, you know, it was obviously arson. The fire service was perfectly sure of that. It was a very professional job. It would have been quite a difficult thing to achieve. It was done very professionally and very successfully. The first one was in March 2003 and the second in May 2003. The first one was on the pavilion, but I think whoever was behind that hoped that would scupper our chances. But it was obvious after that fire that it made no difference to our lottery bid, and we still had a lot of support. So I think that's what provoked them to do the second arson attack in May. Most people know, have a very good idea of who was behind the attacks. But, you know, there's no evidence at all. Really, it was the end of the West Pier and the end of the project as it was at that time, which was to have a full restoration of the West Pier.
On the 28th of January 2004, the Trust fears were confirmed and the Heritage Lottery Fund withdrew from the project. Only a month before, English Heritage, the advisory body to the fund, had published a report concluding that the restoration of the pier was still viable. The pier, and I quote, must be saved. Nobody from the HLF was available to discuss their decision with me, but they did send me the following statement.
We understand how disappointing this news must be for many people, and in particular for the Brighton West Pier Trust, who have fought a valiant fight over the years to save this historic structure. We have been long-time supporters of the campaign to save Brighton's West Pier and have done everything in our power to keep the faith over the years that a solution was possible. However, there is no guarantee that costs won't continue to escalate, and the Trust has made it clear that they have no other funding options but the HLF. This means that the risks and costs involved in this project are now just too big for us to bear.
Since then, residents and visitors of Brighton have had no choice but to watch the old lady slowly make her way into a watery grave. For 28 years, the West Pier Trust has battled to save the pier, and despite setback after setback, they continue to do so. Given the current state of the pier, a full restoration now seems unlikely, but plans for the site are due to be announced sometime in spring 2006. Until then, all I can do is hope that there will be a brighter future for this historic building and pay my respects to what truly was the Pier of Piers.